Quick question, Alex.
Yeah.
What kind of American are you?
I'm like, well, first of all, I'm Chinese.
Okay. And all right. Now, never mind.
Don't hurt me.
Chris, what kind of American are you?
Red-blooded, Midwestern, corn and raised, you know what I'm saying?
Corn and raised. I like that. That's nice.
I'd be safe around Jesse Plemons.
For sure.
Like, I played the most American sport, hockey.
I think I could tell Jesse Plemons, clearly. And then, as I say that, probably gets shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, clearly. Whatever, Paco. Doom.
Every fucking week, new movies get released. How does anyone ever see these? There are too many movies.
Hello.
Welcome to There Are Too Many Movies, family. This week on There Are Too Many Movies, we're going to talk about Alex Garlick's new film, Civil War. But before we talk about that, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. I'm Chris Collins.
I'm Josh Rodriguez, Film School University.
That's not very Zoa. Not very Zoa energy of you.
I'm sorry. Josh Rodriguez, Film School University.
There it is. Right.
Yeah.
There's the electric Josh. Heel Josh.
Give
that we
him the eyebrow.
Yeah.
Give him the brow.
I give him both brows. I go.
It's your signature look. You just look at the camera and go.
I'm Alex Morgpie Wilson. That's me in those videos. A lot of people don't know that.
Shout out there.
You're, who's that?
Just a YouTuber.
Just a YouTuber. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Twitch streamer.
Is that like the Pikachu girl?
Pikachu girl. Oh, you're talking about Pokimane?
Pokimane. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. She's like Pokimane if she took heavy throw pies.
Oh God! All right.
I like that you're the first one that ever said throw pies on the podcast. I do feel like we have to catalog that.
I didn't say that.
It was about Casey Anthony.
Why does she have that ass, dude? Why does she have?
What is
it?
She doing with all?
Why do you need all that cake, you child murderer? Also, what is your number? What is your OnlyFans account? But don't kill any more kids. And don't quit. Just like. She didn't quit.
Hey, $5 a month on Patreon if you want to donate to your local on the internet podcast. I don't know if that was Josh's cock or the cancel meter. I don't know what that was. $5 a month on Patreon if you want to donate to your local on the internet
like
podcast.
Like cancel meter with fucking Casey Anthony.
And you're like behind her, like following her.
I wish I just had a thought bubble with like a Casey Anthony fucking
just you like.
Why does she have it? Oh, it's frustrating.
What
do you need it for?
Aside from that one thing she did, it's like, dude, you can't do one thing anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, come on,
give her some grace.
Come on, dude.
She
wanted to go hang out.
Yeah,
she wanted to fucking chill with the boys. Fucking smoke some cigars.
Right.
Yeah.
Go catch a band.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, she was back in the club like 2 days after getting her innocent verdict. Insane.
Why not? You're innocent. You're free. You can do whatever you want. It's a free country. Am I right?
Yeah. Cut to her with her family signing NDAs on her deathbed. That's an OJ reference. $5 above the Patreon. It gets you bonus episodes, behind the scenes shit, access to our Discord, watch parties. What else?
OnlyFans.
Access to Discord, watch parties.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Access to the Discord, watch parties, behind the scenes stuff.
Behind the scenes photos.
Bonus episode.
Behind the taint.
Weekly bonus episode. Weekly. You get two.
Every fucking week, dude.
Fucking motherfucker.
Yeah.
Every week there's at least supplements, but if they're not supplements, we do a fucking GMP, Go Max Plus, and then we just talk about another movie. You get an extra movie a month, dude.
Yeah.
How's that shit?
How's that shit?
You fucking bitch. Are you fucking convinced?
Patreon, how's that shit?
Patreon, how's that shit? All right.
Ah, fuck it, man.
What is it?
Please. We want to do this for a living. For fuck's sake. We would love to do this for a living. Full time. You'd get so much more if this was our full time shit.
We would be the worst beggars on the street.
Yeah.
Please! Come on!
Like the shit guy. Just be like, please! All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, what have you fellas been watching?
Oh, man. I went first last week, didn't I? It was my birthday episode. How about you?
I'll go first.
You go.
All right. First up, What Jennifer Did on Netflix. This is a docu-crime thingy.
I didn't say ooh that way because of...
Ooh, murder.
Yeah.
So, this isn't the best.
No!
Not only is it not the best, but...
Fuck.
JCS already did this. They did this case on the JCS YouTube channel, which you should check out if you're into that type of stuff.
JCS Criminology, look it up on YouTube, is the best true crime YouTube
hands down
channel ever.
Literally, you can watch like a 2.5 hour video and be like, oh shit, I thought that was 15 minutes.
They always do a great job of breaking down the psychology of a interrogation.
Yes.
Always.
And they don't do the Netflix bullshit where they're like, maybe it was the janitor. And then the beginning of the next episode is like, it wasn't the janitor. yeah, it's just good shit. What Jennifer Did, mid. Watch the YouTube
what
episode.
What Jennifer Mid.
What, exactly.
This is true crime?
Yeah.
Where'd you see it?
Netflix.
Nice, okay.
Which I should have known it would be of that quality at this point on Netflix.
No, dude, because they do good shit sometimes.
Once every like 3 years.
What was that American Nightmare with the fucking the Gone Girl?
That was good. That was really good.
Come on, man.
Dude, but again, that was the first
Nightcrawler
one in 3 years.
Series.
Dude, if Netflix
the
was
Nightcrawler series. The Night Stalker series?
Night Stalker series.
I never watched that.
If Netflix was a baseball player, they'd swing every pitch and they'd be the worst player in MLB.
Dude, it's fucking Joey. What's his name? Joey
Fatone.
No. Joey fucking. God, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Joey doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Imaginary. This is a movie I turned off 13 minutes in. It was so bad.
A new Lionsgate picture.
Sure.
Is this the film that had the audacity to drop the same day as Dune 2?
It probably did because I had never heard of it. Aside from, it's a Blumhouse horror movie about like an imaginary friend.
Yeah. Oh, nope, different thing.
It's otherwise, I mean, either way, just delete this from your memory.
I've heard it's bad. Someone on Letterboxd gave it half a star.
Yeah.
And the comment was, I don't even think it deserves this half star.
Yeah.
It's that bad? You turned it off?
I turned it off with like 12, 15 minutes in.
I can say this now, typical Lionsgate movie.
Get their ass, dude.
Get their ass, dude. Just absolute dog
pent
shit.
Up for years.
Yeah.
Dude, that fucking...
You've been muzzled for years.
I know. Yeah.
And you can finally say...
He's never been more unleashed.
Frick that, dude.
Dude, yeah. Frick that.
Dude,
Josh.
They're friggin' dumb.
Oh, no, I didn't do the right one.
No, that was Hard Rock. Another movie I didn't finish. A rewatch of Argylle. Not as good on the rewatch.
Same.
Yeah,
I tried watching it again.
Couldn't get through it.
It's bad.
I think it's a theater thing.
It might be.
We all saw it in theaters and kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. But also, it's just too fucking long, man.
That's true.
It's like two and a half hours.
It's so long.
I felt that in the theater still.
Yeah. And also, but there were things that on this rewatch were so egregious that I didn't register as that.
The CGI is terrible.
The CGI is horrendous. The first scene where Sam Rockwell and Henry Cavill are like switching their places from like Bryce Dallas Howard's perspective, that goes on way longer than I remember it happening for.
Yeah.
Like I remember in the theater, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is quirky. On the rewatch, I was like, get over it in the fucking scene, dude.
Yeah. Like you get it.
Yeah.
Like after two or three shots of
yes.
it, like you get it.
And it's literally like 40 shots of that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Couldn't finish it. Could not get through it. And then I've started the Fallout series on Prime. It's quite promising.
My brother asked me if you'd watched it yet.
Yes. I've started it.
So I have multiple people now. Like, is Alex on this fucking shit yet?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I watched
someone
in
the Discord asked too, like, right? If Alex had started Fallout? I don't know.
I think that might have been something else, but I know what you're talking about. Look at this fucking whore.
My cat's fucking dead, I guess. All right, PPV, dude. Is she okay?
BB, she's breathing.
Okay.
Oh,
she's
like,
what?
She's wait.
I was in I was in deep REM.
Yeah.
She's like, I was chasing a mouse. I was fucking up Stuart Little.
She was playing Mousetrap, the board game, in her mind.
That was why I felt her head hit my knees, dude. She went, boom.
She's fucking zonked out, dude.
She is conked out, dude.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm only like one episode in. It's promising. It's unlike the past like five Bethesda games, it's pretty good. It's fine. That's not even a hot take. People are
get
so soured on
heel,
Bethesda.
Alex.
Get their ass.
Get their ass, dude.
People are so soured on like general Bethesda shit at this point.
Starfield was dog shit.
I didn't even play it. I want to play it, but after I've seen what everyone said, I probably shouldn't.
But you liked Fallout.
I didn't like Fallout 4. I didn't like Fallout 76.
Yeah.
I liked New Vegas, which wasn't even Bethesda, and I liked Fallout 3, which was fucking 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
but I didn't even like moves. Yeah, I didn't even like Fallout though. When like I went
yeah,
from
that's
Skyrim
not really
to,
your yeah.
It's like I just especially because it was trying to be a shooter, and then every time you went to shoot something, you had a percentage of like hitting it. It was like D&D.
You had to treat it like an RPG.
Yeah, that was rough. But I did start that as well. I am episode one, and I'm watching it. That's so cute. I'm sorry. She was like passing out while she was like falling. Her head was falling back. Okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, the pilot's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I'll be continuing, but I don't have any lore like tie-ins. I don't know.
As long as you get the general aesthetic and you know that there's vault dwellers, there's mutants, and there's fucking ghoulies.
Yeah, I'm not worried about not enjoying it for that, but I'm definitely like all the fan service is going to go over my head.
You know, you don't really need it, you know.
Yeah, but it's going to be one of those
you get those little aha moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that's going to miss for me, but I'll still watch
it. Whatever. If they made an Elder Scrolls series, I would nut into my dick.
And it's just a bunch of like shitty NPCs like clipping through doors.
Hello, citizen.
Inside of a door, you're launching in the sky. Yeah.
The guy's an arrow in his knee.
Yeah. You exit a shop and a horse just lands in front of you.
Yeah. I'm looking for the guard. Have you seen it?
Can you tell me where Armand Christoph is hiding? I'm in hiding from the Imperial Watch.
In the crowd?
He's looking for me. Don't let him know where I am.
Dude, what?
Have you seen this man?
What if the Skyrim show just did that?
Yeah.
Like, was buggy. That would be hilarious.
I trust you have a good reason for interrupting me.
Dude, fucking give us an update on Elder Scrolls 6, Bethesda. Get your shit together, man.
I thought you said you don't even like him now.
I will play Elder Scrolls 6. That's Elder Scrolls is a series specifically I will always give a chance.
Yeah.
But there's also only been like three that have come out during my lifetime. Mm. You know what I mean? Fucking Arena and Daggerfall. I'm like, I'm not going to go back and play those. But everything else, sure. All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Cool, man.
You don't give a shit.
Anything video game related. Even
cool, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just zoned out for 20 minutes. Think about Casey.
It's all right.
You were just
Casey.
Thinking about Casey Anthony for 10 minutes.
All right. Where is she?
I'll go next.
Where is she?
The Fallout series. Yeah, I did that. Just pulling up Letterboxd here. Give me a new boop. Okay.
We got in, boy.
BlackBerry. I didn't talk about this yet. It is
the story of how the BlackBerry was invented.
Yeah.
The berry itself.
Came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Snubbed at the Oscars.
I don't think it's Oscar material.
And people were gunning for Glenn Howerton to get an nom.
I can't get past that fucking hairpiece, dude. It took me a while.
Dude, all of the wigs in that movie are terrible, but it's surprisingly a very good movie.
It is. Yeah, you got Glenn with the shitty hairpiece, and then you've got Jay with a full white head.
What?
It just looks so bad. He's like, you know, and it's
like Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah.
Literally.
It looks so bad, but once you get past the hair pieces, it's actually so good. It's like a comedic Steve Jobs.
All right.
It's like, because you love Steve Jobs.
I love that guy, yeah.
You love that guy and you love that movie. He's your favorite writer, Aaron Sorkin.
But it was like a diet Steve Jobs.
Yeah. It was definitely more lighthearted, but it almost followed the same beats.
You could argue Jobs was on a diet.
I fucking loved the one programmer that, the guy with the fucking headband.
Yeah, that's the guy that wrote it.
What? Yeah. That guy wrote it?
Yeah, the basically the goofier side of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he was fucking really good in that movie.
Yeah, I think he wrote and directed it. I saw this interview, or just a clip on TikTok of an interview, where he was like, you know, we went into the studio and we had like a general idea, and he made up most of the movie on the spot as the pitch.
Shit.
And he was just like riffing, and I don't know.
That, honestly, my favorite parts of the movie were like the pitches that they had to do to secure like funding the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
It's actually a really fucking good movie, dude.
It's very good.
It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah. So I can see the snubby, not Oscar snub, but I can see like, oh shit, this flew under the radar.
But that guy was my favorite part of the movie. Glenn Howerton too, but that guy was fucking really good. And his arc too.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to have fun the whole fucking time. And yeah. He's like a funny character, but he has an actual arc. It's good shit.
Yeah, he's just wearing like Doom t-shirts the whole time.
Oh yeah.
He's it's always the...
He's one of us. You know what I mean? Like one of those kind of guys. He's just like just a chill guy trying to do a job.
Just not a serious person.
Totally. You're not serious people.
Literally doing bits the entire
time. That's hilarious.
Yeah. No, it was great.
Yeah.
He was also, he was great in it. What else do I got here? Rewatch Dune Part 2, of course. Shout out to the Discord. Oh, that was one thing I did want to bring up.
In theaters, of course.
Of course. On digital. It's on digital.
All guy.
It's on digital now, so it's fine. I watched Dune 1 and 2 back to back, and the first line of Dune 1 is, Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun goes down. She says that to Timothy when they're on like the hill, the dune, overlooking like the beautifulness, like, and you know, the love scene when he's like, I would very much like to be equal to you.
Yeah.
And she says, Arrakis is so beautiful at night, or beautiful when the sun goes down. And I was just like, the fucking foreshadow. It's just two movies.
Whoa. When they fucking made the one book two movies, and they were like, this is part of
this. Watch this, not even a creative decision. He's like, what the fuck? She's saying the first one. Just put it in the second one. I don't give a shit.
He just wrote it twice and forgot.
Yeah.
they should remake it, but give Paul like no game at all. Just be like, please let me fuck. Please, please. So fucking horny.
Somebody tried to
let me use the voice. Fuck me.
Somebody tried to do the hot take where they're like, Avatar is basically the same story as Dune. Shut the fuck up.
Even dude. If you believe that, Dune came like 50 years before. Like,
yeah, and also fuck Avatar.
Yeah.
It's just, it's water instead of sand.
But they're blue, you see.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Instead of unobtainium, it's spice.
Yeah.
Same movie.
Yeah.
Same movie.
Same movie, dude.
Same fucking movie, dude.
Dude, Ratchet and Clank is literally Avatar.
I'm ready for the fucking Republican Arrakis, dude. You know what I'm saying? Need a Republican Arrakis, dude.
Yeah. What would be on Republican Arrakis?
The Fremen aren't even people.
Yeah.
Fremen aren't people. I don't know.
Make Arrakis great again?
They have red eyes instead of blue eyes. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. That'd be funny. There's like a counter planet. There's like blue liberals, and then the other ones, they smoke like guns or something, and so they're like...
Smoke guns?
Yeah, they're like, fucking, you smoked a gun and you got the red eyes.
It's all Cobra, the streamer, taking bong rips.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, they were just battling Mad Max universe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
That would be the Republican version of the Arrakis people, or the guys from Mad Max.
Yeah, they're all yelling at Trump, like, notice me! Like, ripping in their bloodshot eyes.
Where's my milkmaid?
But yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Sipping on spray paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for me?
Are you ready?
Let's go. 1982's The Verdict, dude. This is a Paul Newman joint.
Oh.
Not familiar with Paul Newman very much.
Really? Slapshot?
Yeah. I mean, granted, I know that he's in it. I've never seen Slapshot. Okay. But I like Paul Newman now. This is a film by Sidney Lumet, which is one of the like famous, you know, early directors. Not early, but you know, whatever. Written by David Mamet, who goes fucking hard in the paint, dude, with like plays and also just a great legal drama.
Fucking plays.
Paul Newman plays like this like down on his luck lawyer that gets a fucking slam dunk case that like he's supposed to settle. It's like this woman's sister was given the wrong injection at a hospital that killed her and her baby. She's in a coma, and basically the lawyer's like, just settle it, dude. He's like, they fucked up. The church or the hospital that the church works for fucked up. Just settle this out of court, make $60,000, call it a day.
It's fucking layup, dude.
Basically. Mm. And then Paul Newman, as a drunk, he's like, but I think I can make more. He's like, we're taking this to court. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, don't do this. And he's like, we're going to court. It is fucking awesome, dude. It's a really good movie. From the 80s, it's very like brutalist. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, as soon as the cinematography is dope, but I'm saying it's not like a, fuck, it's not like
not artsy shots or anything,
nothing like that. Yeah. Dude, it's a very bare bones fucking political, not political, but like a lawyer legal drama. Fucking solid, loved it. Paul Newman, great actor, just fucking check it out.
What was it called?
It's called The Verdict.
Nice.
I love any movie where it's like a dipshit who thinks he's Atticus Finch, like My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
Like,
dude, it's very much like that. And yeah. Paul Newman as like a, like, you think of him as like kind of like the old Hollywood, like, perfect man, every sure. man, but he's actually a piece of shit. He's like playing pinball the whole time when he's supposed to be studying his case. He's just like, oh, fuck. Like, he's, dude, the first scene, he's like playing a pinball machine. Anyways, it's great.
That's great.
Check it out. Then I went to 1996 and checked out David Cronenberg's Crash, dude. When I say this is the horniest movie I've ever fucking seen in my life, just know that it is starring James Spader, the horniest actor living or dead.
It's
dude.
So weird because he's so not like who you would imagine to be the horny guy.
Dude, think about it though. Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Hercules.
The Secretary.
Oh, I'm thinking of James Woods.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking of Videodrome, right?
Yeah. Okay, no. It's James Spader. James Spader.
Ultron.
I gotta see his face.
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal. He's a fucking pervert in that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Sex, Lies, and Videotape, fucking The Secretary, and then Crash. This guy fucks, dude.
Yeah.
And he talks like he fucks.
He does.
He's great in this. Holly Hunter's in this. It is a fucking, the premise of the movie is that James Spader and his girlfriend are just fucking all the time. And he's like a movie producer. That's all he does. He just fucks her, dude. And he fucks other women and she fucks other dudes. They're just in a very open fucking relationship, you know, literally. They get in a car accident where
a crash, if you will.
A crash. Holly Hunter is in the other car. They end up at the same hospital recovering from this car crash, and he gets obsessed and fetishizes car crashes. So
that's pretty cool.
Their whole thing, Holly Hunter and James Spader, they start getting in more car crashes.
Hell yeah.
Because it makes them come, dude.
That's fucking awesome.
This is literally like his new one. It just was surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, what if fucked up shit made you come, dude?
Yeah. That's literally David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Dude, it is fucking awesome.
That sounds great.
It's fucking awesome. I can't recommend it enough. This is a Criterion Collection classic. I cannot recommend it enough.
I might have to get it on the next 50% off sale.
I'm going
to
check this out for sure, because for the longest time, I thought David Cronenberg's Crash was that political, like, racial
movie.
The
one that won the Oscar?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, why?
No, the one with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
And Ludacris.
Yeah.
That movie's a piece of shit, dude.
Is it?
Yes.
Dude, I remember when I watched it because of all the Oscar hype, wow, this is so sophisticated.
Yeah, when you're fucking 11 years old, you're like, oh my God, they all connect.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Dude, it's like Michael Peña's the greatest actor of all time.
Yeah.
It's the most baby brain version of convergent storylines ever, where they converge simply because the writer was like, what if they did converge?
Yeah,
if there's no motivation. Yeah.
And then Ludacris is like, why is she holding on her purse like that? Because she's racist. And
well, turns out I am black.
Yeah.
That's literally
that's the plot of Crash. No, dude, David Cronenberg's Crash fucking murders it. It's so fucking good, and apparently was a huge influence on Rose Glass for Love Lies Bleeding.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Big fucking recommend.
I'm going to watch this ASAP.
So fun.
I need to rewatch, I need to watch just more David Cronenberg in general, because he's got a whole catalog that I'm like, I just need to.
I thought the same thing, which is why I checked out A History of Violence.
Ooh,
right after.
Is that the Viggo Mortensen one?
That is Viggo Mortensen. Another David Cronenberg film, came out in 2005. The very last VHS. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah. Big studio VHS.
It's a little physical media minute. The last VHS was History of Violence. Viggo Mortensen, Maria Bello, Ed Harris is like the big baddie in this one, based on a graphic novel drawn by Vincent Locke of Cannibal Corpse fame.
That's pretty hard.
Fucking cool.
Did not know that.
Anyways, it's not as good as I remember. I wasn't like fucking with it. I mean, it's good, but I wasn't like, fuck yeah, this movie fucks.
Do you think if it was your first time watching it today, you would like it?
No. Because I watched it when I was really young, dude. The first time I ever went to Studio Movie Grill. I don't know why I brought that up. But
I ate a burger.
I'm editing that out. No fucking unpaid.
You gotta pay for it. Fuck that shit. Fuck theater chains.
Literal fucking office chairs with like picnic tables.
Get your shit together.
Fuck yourself.
I'll have the fried pickles.
Studio Movie Grill sucks.
Yeah, dude.
It's not great. Not great. It's the worst movie going experience there is.
They're like, oh, do you need a refill? And they piss in your cup.
Also, mark this whenever they try to sponsor the podcast. Delete that part.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck them. But anyways, History of Violence just didn't do it for me. It's like the violence was pretty not tame. There's a part where he rips a guy's nose off with upper fucking...
Hell yeah.
What's this called? Like wrist punches.
The fucking monkey paw.
Wrist uppercuts, dude. And he fucking rips the guy's nose off that way, which is pretty cool.
That's hard.
And then he steps on a guy's neck and breaks it. That was cool.
Just individual moments of violence. Like,
I mean, the movie does have a history of...
That's what it's called, individual moments of violence.
Yeah.
It's a Les VHS tape, individual moments of violence.
But it's not a great film by any means.
I always got it mixed up with Eastern Promises. So every time someone says a history of violence, I'm like, was that? Nope, I still haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I always get it mixed up with that one.
So you haven't seen History of Violence?
Nope.
I need to see all three of those, yeah.
Whoa. Wait, you've never seen Eastern Promises?
Nope.
Fuck, dude. Hard. That's the banger.
That is a banger.
I might save that one for last, so that's I don't ruin it for, yeah.
That's David Cronenberg's best movie, and it's also his most comprehensive movie, if that makes sense.
It's like, his least Cronenberg movie.
It's his least weird fucking...
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty straightforward thriller.
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
Okay.
It's fucking good.
Fucking good, dude.
Really good, dude. If you like Eastern gangs and
I don't
shit,
like
mafia.
Eastern gangs, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
You
know. Well,
you gotta go further east.
Yeah.
To get to what he likes.
I know, yeah. Manga, if you will.
If you will. The exact item it is.
if you know what I mean. Manga.
If you know what I'm saying.
If you know what I mean.
Nerdy bullshit,
yes.
If you know what I'm saying.
Hi.
Another banger. Hardly Know Her. I was in a spotlight mood. Well, actually, my wife was in a spotlight mood. She wanted to watch a fucking Getting to the Bottom of It, and I was like, oh, a Getting to the Bottom of It movie? She's like, yeah, I guess so. I'm like...
You're just like, already holding it? It cuts back to you're already holding Spotlight in like your four formats you own it in.
You're wearing like the little white thing. Like, you want to...
But, of course, you know, something new. Did you guys hear about Boston Strangler?
Yes.
2023, Keira Knightley, Carrie Coon, Chris Cooper, and our motherfucking boy, Bill Camp, dude.
Damn.
Let's fucking go.
To be honest, you had me at Carrie Coon, but go ahead.
Yeah. I know. Same for me. But then we saw Bill Camp and Carly and I both were like, oh! Oh, shit. We're watching this shit. Boston Strangler came out last year. It is a fucking banger,
shit.
Dude.
Really?
It's like, it definitely was in the Spotlight wheelhouse. It's a diet Spotlight, but it's about two journalists that are basically on the case that discovered that the Boston Strangler was a serial killer. And they're writing for, not the Boston Globe, but like a different, what is it? The American Standard is the paper that they were writing for. And they're tracking the case, dude, of the Boston Strangler. It's fucking great.
I'll check that out. Where'd you watch it?
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Most of the show is you guys recommending stuff, and then I watch it immediately because I trust your recos. And then the next week, I'm like, I watched that thing.
Yeah.
I watched that thing you guys said. I do agree it's good.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about you lately, because you've been bringing up some fucking bangers, and I'm like, fuck, I want to watch that now, too. Like, I get amped up.
Hell yeah.
That's what the Lost this is for,
yeah,
baby.
And that's like when I'm like, dude, you need to check out Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah. And then everybody on YouTube's like, when are they going to talk about the fucking movie?
Yeah.
It's like, go to 4235 for
it's
the movie.
It's timestamped. Shut the fuck up.
Boston Strangler's great. Check it out. And then finally, in theaters, went to a screening of The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. That is the new Guy Ritchie joint.
Is that the Henry Cavill one?
Starring Henry Cavill.
All right.
Starring the one guy, the big Tad Castle. I don't fucking know his... Thad Castle.
Oh, from Blue Mountain State?
Yes.
Shit. Oh, it actually is? I thought you were joking.
He's in it, yeah.
That's awesome.
He's fucking amazing
Let's
in
fucking
it.
Let's fucking go.
Fuck, really?
Yes. He's so... Dude, This movie fucks.
Damn really?
It is awesome, dude.
Dang it.
It is like...
dang it, buddy.
Dang it, dude. I wanted it to not be good.
Ah,
I don't know
frick.
Why. Because I missed the screening. That's why I wanted to.
I hope you had a bad time.
I hope I didn't miss out.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's on a fucking tear, dude. He's killing it.
He's
since Aladdin, where he was like making the bag, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every movie he's done since then is fucking great, dude.
Every movie.
And also underrated as shit.
Yeah. Every movie he's done has been like so fucking. Like gentlemanly sharp tie guy shit.
Yeah.
It always has gentleman in it, and if it doesn't have it in the title, it's said a million times in the film. It's getting so it's brushing off as like Andrew Tate like alpha shit to me lately. And so it's
this one is probably the least of that.
Yeah,
I'd say because it's like a gritty fucking like World War II movie. But it's also fun as shit.
You know what's crazy is like I'm like not even a little bit gay, but I would let Henry Cavill be the Big Spoon like so just
easily.
Easy.
Oh, that's a man's man.
Yeah.
Big Spoon by Superman? Are you kidding me? Turn me into Man of Steel if you know what I'm saying.
Nice.
If you know what I mean, fellas.
If you know what my cock is hard about.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, this movie's fun as shit, man. It's like I don't know if it's like a mix between Inglourious Bastards and like fucking Snatch. Like it's
all right.
It's just a fun.
Damn. That sounds fucking good.
Yeah, they're Nazi killers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go. Fuck.
Their whole thing is that they're it's a ragtag group of individuals. Their whole mission is to sink one U-boat.
That's cool.
And it's just havoc.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Damn it, man.
Fucking great.
All right, I'll check it out.
Fun.
All right.
Big, stupid fun, man. Nice. I don't know what else to say. Henry Cavill is so charming in that movie.
Do you need to see the other Gentlemanly Universe films to understand it?
Not in the least.
All right.
Yeah.
Some guy, when we got out of the movie, some guy was like, that reminded me of Inglourious Basterds. I was like, it's a fucking World War II movie, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah. They're a ragtag group of dipshits.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was
Gorlami. Like,
fuck you, guy. It was good.
Fuck you, guy. You're like stating the glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a... It's like if A24 made a Civil War movie.
Oh, yes.
A real thing I read.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of...
But wait. Before... Oh. On Guy Ritchie, like his stick lately is like Kingsman, but serious.
Dude,
but I can't... Because it's serious, it seems like so pompous to me.
My guy's not been paying attention, dude, because Wrath of Man went hard as shit.
I don't even know what that
was. I've never even heard of that.
Jason Statham, revenge movie, basically. Fucking awesome. Had no right to be as good as it was. And not gentlemanly. Like, it was just fucking good.
None of the fucking pocket square shit that he...
Yeah.
None of that. That was fucking just really good. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant... fucking banger.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Know her.
That actually was good.
The Jake Gyllenhaal one?
It
I wanted to see that.
No right to be as good as it was. And that wasn't a gentlemanly movie either. It was just a fucking... Yeah.
That looks like it just went straight up hard.
It was kind of a red-pilled, like, right-wing.
Yeah, it was kind of a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
But good.
But amazing.
Solid.
So he's been doing... I mean, The Gentleman, I get it. Like, he's done that movie a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like since Aladdin, since The Gentleman, he's kind of gone on a tear where he's just... working hard as shit. Operation Fortune, which is like his James Bond type movie, that was fucking fun as shit. Aubrey Plaza's in it.
This is wild. You're naming so many movies I've never done.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Completely.
Since the pandemic, my guy has been working his ass off, dude.
Yeah, he has a whole Netflix series, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Does he really?
Yes. He's got
it's
a whole,
called The Gentleman.
That's not his series, though. He wrote the movie and directed the movie. But I'm sure they like took
I saw Guy Ritchie's name attached to it in some capacity. He might be like executive producer.
Yeah, probably. Okay. They probably took his idea from the movie and then made the show.
I can't even keep it straight.
Make Man from Uncle 2.
Yeah.
Dude, agreed.
I love that movie.
Same, big time. This and Gentlemanly Warfare feels a lot like...
Okay, all right.
It's that same tone.
All right.
Where it's dumb.
I'll probably like it then. Yeah.
Fucking loved it, man. I can't say enough good things about it. Great. Check it out. All right, that's it for me.
Oh.
Ready?
Do you want to get into... Wait, before we get into the film, I've got some business ideas.
Oh,
wow.
I do. It's pretty straightforward. I got an idea for an adult film streaming service. It's free with ads. It's called Lubi. Or Booby.
Oh, okay.
Booby. Like, okay. Okay. Another streaming service exclusively for Bollywood films called Rubi.
Nice.
Another streaming service exclusively for stoner movies. It's called Doobie.
That's good. Ah. That's good.
That's it. Chris's business idea.
I like that there's three things that rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just took Tubi and fucking went off.
Tubi.
And I went off.
And I popped off, arguably.
I had my glow up.
The fucking note just says Ruby, Doobie, Luby.
Yeah. I'm like, this is going to be great.
You're going to love this.
This is going to kill.
And we're just like.
It's like me in, in Joker where he's like. Anyways.
I want to be a comedian.
I'm the Joker, baby.
That's my Joker laugh, by the way.
Anyways.
Not my actual Joker. I mean, I'm the Joker baby laugh. I would never dare to try to do a genuine Joker laugh.
Are you the
laugh.
Fucking Joker baby?
I'm the Joker
baby. I
don't
know fucking drop is. There's Alien.
Is that just a man pissing?
Oh, that was the scurrying yeah. alien at the end.
Oh, okay, okay.
I still have that.
That fucked me up for a second because I didn't know you hit a button and I felt like something in my brain scurry across. And I was like, it's happening, finally. My final synapse.
It's the end. Here we go.
Who do you think you are? I am.
All right, fellas. Shall we get into Civil War?
Yes.
Alex Garlick's new joint?
Indeed.
Oh, dude, I didn't do the fucking It's Showtime fucking...
It's showtime.
There we go.
Let's go.
Now we can start.
Now we can start the show.
How was Civil War?
Let's redo the whole episode.
Yeah, yeah, start from the top. Run it back.
All right, Civil War.
Better than Men. Fucking say that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Way better than Men.
Way better than Men.
Men was a fucking terrible movie.
The act three was shit. Everything else was good.
It did have me going in the first two acts. I was like, this is getting surreal. And then it got too surreal. With all like his face being everywhere, and then it just got over.
Soon as fucking Rory McIlroy is that his name? Rory,
main man,
the man and men. As soon as he was a little boy, checked the fuck out.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
And that was like halfway through the movie. I was like, oh, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, that was the turning point for sure.
I'm done.
Yeah, but he arguably did great.
He did a good job.
He did as good as you could possibly do being a little boy
playing 10 men. Boy. I think he did good.
He was 2.5 men, you could argue.
Arguably, he was. Civil War. This is a good movie.
Yeah, but we already talked about, he kind of abandoned his sort of Black Mirror dystopian... His sci-fi thing.
I mean, that's kind of been his thing for his whole career, generally.
Yeah, Sunshine, 28 Days Later.
Annihilation.
Annihilation is an original, but it's an adaptation.
Dread?
Ex Machina.
You could argue Dread is way more science fiction.
Either way, sci-fi is what he's done.
Yeah, but he does it in this sort of society. Oh, we live in a society vibe.
Society.
My DMT.
We live in a society?
That's one of them.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, that's a solid one. It's a meme.
Yeah, it's a meme.
But, he abandoned that and he just dropped her into a war film, which is a cool... Not what you'd expect, but a cool, attempt to just do something new.
Yeah.
I liked that, but I did expect it to be, like, more of a, what's the word? Not...
Provocative?
Provocative, yeah, but more of a, through the looking glass of society. I don't think I'm using
that. Yeah, it feels lesser in scope than you would expect from an Alex Garlick movie, because it's such a localized...
Well,
thing you're following.
I would argue that this is a fucking. This is the biggest movie that A24 has ever produced.
Right.
Highest budget. This is their biggest movie that they've done. It made the most in the box office for A24 movie opening weekend. I think it is a big movie, but I'm surprised that there's no that the narrative isn't apparent to those watching, if that makes sense. Apparently, it's like right in the middle, dude. Like, conservatives and liberals are going to watch this movie at the same rate. I think that's a big part of why it's kind of down the middle as far as like beliefs and doesn't explain anything to you as far as what the politics are. All we know is the president is in his third term, which obviously doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And we know that Texas and California are the Western forces that are in a civil war against the United States of America, right?
I do like that the sum of the perspective of, I would assume, Alex Garlick in this movie is described by when they go past that house where the guy is sniping people, and those guys are like, they're trying to kill us, so we're trying to kill them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That to me is like the crux of the movie.
Yeah.
And my argument whenever we first brought it up was like, I'm surprised that was it.
Like, it's not necessarily about the politics of the movie at all.
No.
It's just like, oh, we don't like them, they don't like us. And that's the movie, mm-hmm. basically. I don't mean to, like, dumb it down and say that's all the fucking movie was. But it's like, he didn't go on Front Street like he does with Ex Machina, in my opinion, or Annihilation even, where it's, he puts his beliefs right there on Front Street for you.
Yeah.
I don't think this does that at all.
Yeah.
Even our protagonists, the heroes of the movie, they're morally ambiguous as well.
Yes.
I think he's saying a lot about photojournalists and journalists in general, and like the job that they have to do, the civic duty that they have to get the story, but also the fucking...
the like predatory capitalism aspect of
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. That goes along with that responsibility.
Yes. But it also that monologue she had to the younger photojournalist was so cool, where she was like, you like, there are so many situations where, oh, could I have intervened when somebody was setting someone on fire or blah blah blah. Like, you have to be amoral, and that is a metaphor for the vessel he used to tell the story. Because if it was like, oh, I'm following someone in the Western Front, then it's like, oh, it's a side thing,
you're biased now.
Yeah. So that doing it through the lens literally of a photo war journalist. Yeah, of photojournalists of war, whatever, is so brilliant, because then it's like, we're just documentary.
Exactly.
And that's what the movie's doing.
You can be a right down the middle observer. Just like they say they are.
Yeah. She said, the picture is the story, and that's the job.
And that's Alex Garlick saying, like, that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
It's not leaning in any sort of way either.
Yeah.
It really isn't, dude.
The only thing that felt dystopian to him, like his usual style, like in Ex Machina, he takes AI and goes, what if it was really bad? Kind of like Black Mirror would do.
Yeah.
He does this where it's like, you know, this is basically tensions in the nation. Like, what if it went crazy?
Yeah.
That's as much Alex Garlick as you get in this.
Yeah.
The premise.
Dude, he can direct the shit out of a tense scene.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Do we want to talk about the fucking Jesse Plemons scene? Like,
sure. Let's go.
That's a fucking highlight as a motherfucker,
that's,
dude.
That's yeah, dude. Possibly the best scene of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of American are you?
Like, as far as tension, horror, basically.
Uh-huh.
The sound design of this movie
fucked
my butthole so hard, dude.
Yeah.
It's so rare for a movie to... like, there are moments of, like, the moments of silence are meted out so perfectly. So, like, you get a little bit comfortable, and then a gunshot goes off, and you jump in your fucking seat.
Yeah.
The gunshots had to be mixed, like, 120%.
It's crazy.
I swear they were
loud.
Loud as shit. Every time a gunshot went off, it was like I was in the scene.
It's crazy.
Like being walking down a street and taking a sniper shot from Winter Wonderland or whatever the fuck happened.
You know what's crazy, though, about the Jesse Plemons scene in Civil War is that the original actor cast to play that part dropped out of the film like days before they started shooting. Kirsten Dunst is married to Jesse Plemons and just was basically like, he's free, he should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking,
and he's like, oh yeah, I can be a terrifying motherfucker.
Yeah, Alex Garland, when life gives you Plemons, dude, you fucking shoot him there on the fucking,
exactly.
You know, like, you have to do it, dude. That's
you have
Jesse
to.
Plemons? Are you kidding me?
And then he's like, oh yeah, I can do that, and just plays it the same way he plays everything.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
He's like too good at it,
dude. His nonchalance of like putting the muzzle down and then like bringing it back up and being like, oh, is this your guy? Is this your mid-sentence killing a guy?
Yeah,
like,
dude, the show me state, that whole thing that was improvised.
Oh dude,
what does that mean?
And Kaylee, the girl photographer, she didn't know that he was gonna say that, obviously, so that's why she's like,
but it plays to the scene,
dude. Yep. It's perfect.
amazing.
It's okay,
just
like,
has them on their heels the whole time
because of the trailer, and I know that he's in the movie and people have been talking about him. I was like internally like dreading getting to that point of the movie, and then when it happens, like, it was so fucking intense,
but it was so perfect because it wasn't, they played it perfectly because it wasn't that caricature. It still had that mentality and that philosophy, but it wasn't that gun-toting.
He's quietly terrifying. He's like Anton Chigurh or something.
And it didn't have like too much of a Southern accent. It just wasn't too much of a caricature.
Backwoods fucking.
It wasn't too much of the...
that's real American. That right there.
Yeah. It wasn't too much of that expected caricature.
No, that was just an actual human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, who had apparent war experience because he was like with army people.
He's spreading lie on a pit of bodies. Like,
yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
Man.
Like, oh, yeah, we did this in Iraq. Fuck
yeah.
It. Yeah. Like,
and I love that. Damn, what's his name? Fuck.
The guy, journalist.
No, hold on. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the guy in Dune and Devs?
I wrote his name down.
That guy's fucking awesome.
Other notes. I forgot his fucking
name. Oh, yeah, that dude.
Hold on.
Like, what kind of American are you? And he rolls his eyes back. He goes with his eyes, you know?
Shoots him immediately.
He's like, I'm fucking proud.
Dude, the fucking, the survival abilities of the guy that, first of all, say fucking some state, say any state in the U.S. to give yourself a fighting chance.
I know.
Like, China. Boom! What are you doing?
Dude, lie!
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I can't lie. That would be bad. It's immoral to lie.
God. But he doesn't know that he's about to get fucking...
Yeah, he does!
I don't know if he knows that. Stephen McKinley Henderson, whenever he's like, we're not going there. That is death, dude.
Yeah, that place reeks of death. That, fuck.
No, he's like that. He's like, this is death.
Yeah.
This situation, we're not going anywhere near this. And he's like ready to leave the girl, basically.
Yeah.
Because like, why the fuck would we risk our life? Like, why? This is death. Why the fuck are we going in there? And then for him to be the one that saves them all, ultimately. Come on, man. Makes the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. That was a fucking hard moment for sure.
Yeah. Especially because, like, the whole time they just, he was a burden to them.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, this guy's fucking slow and old and we're fucked. And he's the only one with any sort of common sense, really.
Yeah.
And they're all like, hey, they walk up to the guy. He's like, hey, buddy, that's our friend.
Yeah. Let's have the Hispanic guy speak for us.
We'll bring a Mexican dude and a Chinese guy to talk to the fucking right wing as fuck dude.
Yeah.
With a pit of bodies.
Yeah. We're going to talk this out. Don't worry, guys. I got this. Boom. Turns his head into a cantaloupe.
And,
just
and then that girl is like, I think I've got my experience. I've been on my road trip.
Yeah.
Lying in a pit of bodies like, ah.
Dude, when she throws up in the car after that.
That was brutal.
Yeah. That was fucked up, was, dude.
And then
that was
minutes,
a Pukey McChunks moment, dude.
Yeah.
Certified Pukey McChunks.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
She smoked that ish and puked in the car.
I love that it wasn't like a typical, like when someone throws up in a movie. It was like an actual like.
Yeah, dude, it was a brutal.
It was brutal.
Yeah,
and then 20 minutes later, she's jumping cars on the highway. Wild.
This was before.
That was before.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Right. Fuck.
But yeah, that was insane to me too. Like, they're like, is it not scary enough? You just are in the middle of warfare. Journal, like, fucking.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why are you jumping between moving cars?
I'm 20 years old and I don't know this man. I better get in his car.
Yeah.
And then Amelie takes off and it's like, and
where'd
then
he go?
And you're just like,
yeah. Dude. Yeah, dude.
It was good. The tension in that was like, good, but just like nonsensical. I was like, what the fuck? This girl's like scared to take a picture, but she'll dive into
I gotta do it.
Yeah. She'll dive into the Ford Explorer going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Now, my only, I don't want to say my only criticism, but like a part where I felt kind of not, let me rephrase this a little bit. I felt that the Jesse Plemons character in that whole scene was the best part of the movie, obviously. Mm. But it's like, to me, those characters were more interesting than the story that we got, which is another issue for me with the movie. Like, I feel like the photographers, granted, like, they have a story. It's a road trip movie, basically.
Kind of. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Worst road trip ever.
I mean, basically, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to get A to B, and they have wacky situations along the way.
That's good. That's true. It's just like a sex drive in that.
In that sense, yeah. But I thought, like, I was like, I want to stay with Jesse Plemons' character longer.
Goes to show you how fucking good he is in that scene, though.
Yeah, he's so good.
But I think you have that feeling because it was just a vignette.
Yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Because if you get...
It's a chapter in a book.
Yeah. You got a few vignettes. You got the guys at Winter Wonderland, the snipers, and then you get you get vignettes along the way.
That scene was cool, too, though.
So good.
And you never even see the sniper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never see him.
You don't have to.
It just goes, I got good
news. And
it's
fucking Gaspar Noé's pet cat, that fucking dude, whatever that guy's name is.
Gaspar Noé's pet cat.
The guy's in every Gaspar Noé film.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He was in Devs as well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love it where he's like, we don't know who he is. Yeah. Like, he's shooting at us.
Yeah. So we're trying to kill him.
Yeah. That was I laughed so hard at that where he's just like he explained, someone's shooting at us and we're shooting back. And he's like, well, Who is it? He's like, oh, you're retarded.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I get it. You're a retard.
Yeah. And he's just like, and he's like, what do you mean? He's like, did you not hear that he's shooting at us and we are shooting back? And it's like, that was it.
Yeah.
I loved that little vignette of just like, just a war guy.
Yeah.
That is like
doing his thing.
Just trying to survive. It's like, that's what most war movies, anti-war movies are, where it's like, you think it's us versus them, good versus bad. It's complete fucking amoral chaos.
Right. Exactly.
It's like,
it's a lot of laying around waiting for shit to happen.
It's arguably heck.
War is heck.
That's a good point, dude.
You know?
War certainly is heck, fellas.
I loved, though, when the sniper, at the Christmas one where, like, the Christmas scene, whatever, shoots, and then there's a fucking pregnant pause, and he's like, I've got good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Brutal.
Very, no music, no nothing.
No.
But especially pulling up to the Winter Wonderland was such a cool.
Dude, that was crazy.
Just like a body, and just like, well, we should check this out, right?
Yeah,
like, we should keep
turn around, dude.
Yeah. Like, the tension goes against, like, your every instinct.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
But they have to capture the story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, this is the only road or whatever. And, of course, like, Steve whatever, what's his name?
Wozniak.
No. The guy that invented the Apple II is in the back like, just acknowledge the fucking Western Front.
Yeah.
Just acknowledge the Western Front, dude.
Just acknowledge the top guys.
Have a mimosa and relax.
You can be decent and nice at the same time.
Yeah.
Brilliant and decent at the same time.
You can be decent and gifted at the same time.
It's not binary. Anyways, yeah, that scene was amazing. With the dead body just like in the road is like, guys, I'm getting bad vibes here.
Yeah. I think this dead body is bad news for us.
Guys, this Winter Wonderland isn't passing the vibe check right now.
Yeah, for real.
Dude, there's multiple moments for sure, but one where Kirsten Dunst is still getting to know the younger photographer girl that wants to make like a name for herself, essentially, and where she's like, if I died, would you take a photo of me? And she goes, what do you think?
So yeah.
That's fucking hard, dude.
Hard lines in
this.
The only clunky exposition in the movie, though, is whenever the younger photog meets Kirsten Dunst for the first time.
It's just, I think, because she's an awkward girl. She's meeting her idol. It's, you know.
To me, it reads that, like, I don't know, something about that felt like, you're Lee Smith. Wow.
It just felt very
amateurish. My favorite photographer is Lee something, and you have the same first name. Wow. You know, just that whole fucking thing. I don't know.
My dad loves your shit.
Well, yeah, my dad loves your shit.
I thought it was a clever way. I thought it was a clever way to introduce that Kirsten Dunst is...
It's the only exposition of the movie, which is why I didn't like it.
Besides the newscasts...
They're barely in there, though.
Yeah, true.
Just a little radio snippet.
It's at the very beginning, and she's taking a photo of the television. Also, we haven't got to this yet, dude. The fucking cinematic choice of using the actual photos that they're taking
that was
on
hard.
Set in the film where they're like fucking... straight cut to a photo. Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
what
really
a
cool.
Fucking awesome stylistic choice by Alex Garland, man.
And it's also, like we talked about it already, but a unique vessel to view war. Like,
yeah.
Through the photojournalist, a wartime journalist.
It's a perfect narrative choice to present an unbiased perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I think any other movie there would be videographers, and this would be like a fucking Steadicam movie, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be photojournalists because it's
a guy on Normandy just with a fucking 16 mil camera.
It's a fucking flat medium. Why would you use that for a motion picture? I don't know. I felt like it did the movie justice, and it better served the movie. I think
it feels like it has
still photography.
Those moments have like greater gravity because of that. You know
totally.
What I mean?
And how they cut it into the action.
Exactly.
Well.
The moments they chose.
But it's also how we ingest war. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were seeing photos, and we were just going, "Oh, that's what we see on CNN. That's someone being dragged away."
Dude, the scene where it hard cut. It's fucking heck. The hard cut to the guy stuck behind a pillar, like fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah.
And then the
dying
photos,
minutes later. And then, of course, Kirsten Dunst's only comment is like, "That's a great shot."
Yeah.
Like, fuck, dude, that guy's dead, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But
she's like, "No, it was a good shot." He's fucking.
Yeah.
No, but it was like a powerful thing. But also, she goes, "Well, these are all out of focus. They're all shit. I don't even look at them." And she goes, "Don't worry. Like most of them, 90% of these
one
are
in 40
discards
or something."
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it shows that photo, and it shows both their like amoral job, but also their like that shot does say a lot. Like when you saw a dead person, fucking, and
a guy
dragging
screaming off. Camera
exactly where it's like shit, that is powerful, a powerful moment of time.
Yeah.
And that fucking cutting the music and the sound to just go,
Yeah,
to I show that was such a cool vessel.
And the sound design is perfect in this movie.
It's great.
But to piggyback off of that, whenever she's like, "Would you take my photo if you know I died?" He's like, "Yeah, what do you think?" But her she's character like, grows in that
selfie.
Whenever Stephen McKinley Henderson, he dies after saving them, right?
True.
Mm-hmm. He's in this all the blood that's like leaking out of the fucking car from like the seat that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a fucking crazy shot for one, but she's taking his photo and then she decides ultimately to delete his death photos. Shows her fucking her arc, but then you think that's it. And the fucking very end of the movie, dude, she's the one that gets killed and fucking
but she's also like scared shitless during that whole thing.
Oh, it's just PTSD.
She's falling apart.
Yeah.
Like during her whole arc, I think her shell breaks.
Yeah.
And that was the turning point when she photographs the guy in the car. I think after that, she goes, damn, war is really heck, fellas.
Yeah.
She's like, oh shit, this can happen to us?
Yeah. Oh no, this is real bad. Well, Jesse, the younger photographer, she's getting more and more kind of crazy about it, right? Like she's looser now. She's more comfortable with
war. She
gets
tunnel vision. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
She goes out. I mean, she gets too greedy. She's like fucking like going for hits on a Dark Souls boss and it's like, dude, he's swinging right now.
Yeah. Greed will kill you every time. Dude.
You know what's funny is like I was like when they were the whole plot is like we got to get to the White House, we got to talk to the president. I wanted so bad for the president to just be wandering around the Oval Office like King Vendrick in Dark Souls 2.
Seeker of quiet. Coveter of the throne.
Just like waiting. I've been here so many years. You hear fucking boss music and the health bar shows up. Which is Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved all that tension building up to the White House too.
White House scene was fucking amazing.
That was insane.
But that's when she goes off, like the Tumblr girl photographer. She's just like, I'm going to get so many fucking likes if I get this shot.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She goes insane about it. And then
she pulls a fucking Jake Paul, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the suicide forest. Just like, let's fucking go, dude.
Yeah. And essentially gets Kirsten Dunst killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does. And then takes her fucking photo. That was one of the only little bit corny parts of the movie. I thought.
I mean, I liked it. I liked it.
I liked the plot, but the execution was odd because like she gets knocked down, and there's like a moment, and then she goes wait, and then she gets shot, and she's like, it was just a little too convenient for the rest of the movie, I guess. But it wasn't.
The pacing was a little off on that one. I thought.
Yeah.
I guess it just it was too
because she instead of the pause. Click. It should have just been clicking the whole fucking time.
True. Yeah, like true. She should have been clicking as she fell.
Yeah,
and taken the, and then
see it later.
To, yes,
ooh, dude,
that's so much more powerful to me than we're basically writers, man.
Yeah.
If she went out there intentionally to get saved, and then like if she was waiting with the camera up for Kirsten Dunst as like to bait her and
yeah, that's
get baited. Says that to Kirsten Dunst, dude. It's like, what the fuck? This movie took a turn.
Like, what the fuck?
You'll never get me, Spider-Man.
That would have been a little too, like, because, you know, she just gets shot. Like, it doesn't take the bait. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, trying to bait you. Like, I don't know. No, I think it was a little too, like, theatrical, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little too overly.
Everything
fake,
else
dramatic.
Felt like legit action, and that was a little okay.
Yeah. In the middle of the firefight, she still is just going.
You know, the Secret Service could use some. I don't know, a fucking helmet. I don't know. Hey, nope. Hey, guys, you're the last line of defense.
That's true.
Could you throw on a hat?
But also, Kirsten Dunst to push her down and not tackle her down bugged me.
That did
she
bother
was like,
me.
Boom.
Yeah.
But that's the fucking Godzilla minus one logic.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I'm fucking nitpicking, but. It was a moment where I was like, damn, that could have been
if
like
if you were
smoother.
A realist. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was totally saved for me by the fucking press secretary or whoever that was.
That was hard.
The one that was like, all right, he's surrendering. That fucking lady. That scene was so tense, dude.
Yeah, we'll spare him. Bring him out.
Yeah.
Dude, that was hard.
I fucking was like, let's fucking go,
dude. The no mercy spraying the limos,
dude,
as they come out.
They're rebels.
It's insane.
They're fucking here for business, dude.
A door opens and just
killing the first lady immediately.
Insane.
Yeah,
that wasn't the first lady though.
Just some lady. Either way,
okay. That was like the Speaker of the House or like the representative that fucking does all the press conferences.
That murder as well. But just I mean, like when they're still on the street outside of the White House and a door opens on a limo and they just fucking
inside. Just sprayed it.
Yeah.
Fuck
no mercy, no thought.
Yeah, the woman's last words were, wait! Just catches a whole clip.
Dude.
But yeah, then the fact that that limo pulled out and they immediately what's her name? Kirsten Dunst just goes, he's not in there. We're going in.
Yeah.
That was fucking sick.
That was also cool because like that's what would happen too. Like they would send a decoy car.
That'd be a bait.
And, yeah.
He's the president.
Yeah.
He's not gonna fucking I gotta get out of here on the main street.
Yeah.
And I like that he didn't have a bigger part, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in it for like the news conferences.
Yeah.
And then because when you finally see him in the flesh and he's begging for his life, basically, it's like it makes it so I don't know, something about that. It's like he's an iconic figure throughout the whole movie. And then when you finally see him, he's begging for his life. It's like, fuck, this is eerie,
yeah,
dude.
It's the Emperor Has No Clothes moment, where it's just like...
From the Emperor's New Groove.
I thought you meant the Emperor's New Groove moment.
Yeah, it's the Emperor's New Groove
moment. Dude, you guys threw off my groove.
Cusco's groove.
Hey, don't you check this out. Check this out.
More broccoli?
yes, Cusco's groove.
But yeah, it's like the whole
Cusco's
movie.
Cusco's poison. The poison chosen to kill Cusco. Cusco's poison.
Oh, right. The poison. The poison for Cusco. The poison chosen specially to kill Cusco. Cusco's poison.
But yeah, that moment was, like you said, he has a larger than life mentality, but it really just puts it in perspective at the end. It's like the president's just a person anyway. He's not bulletproof.
He got Mussolini'd.
Yeah, that shot of them dragging him from the desk, under the desk.
Yeah.
I fucking love that shot.
He's like, wait, guys, come on.
Guys, I was on home base. You can't tag me on home base.
Hold on, guys, wait. He's like that Indian guy that's like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something. All right. Let me tell you something.
He's like, they're about to like drop him off that roller coaster, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait.
He's wearing khakis and a red fucking polo.
Yeah.
And then home dude, like, I need a quote.
Dude.
Yeah.
And then he's like, please don't let them kill me. That's good enough.
Perfect. Yeah.
Fucking A, dude.
Yeah.
And they
great
kill
ending.
Him. It's a very, I don't know, man. I don't know how I felt about the fucking last shot being the exposed photo. Like, it's like still exposing and it's like the fucking, they're all surrounding the dead president.
That was the last shot, but the second to last one was the black and white slow motion that looked like a photo, right?
That's what I'm
They're going.
Oh, that was
right,
cool.
Right.
But it's in black and white and it was like slow-mo. And then a photo kind of.
Yeah, that's the one.
I liked it.
I liked it. It's in theme.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very, what is it? Yeah, just war photography, I guess. Feels like a photo, like an iconic photo that you would.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
One of the things that bugged me a little, I mean, I hate to nitpick like this, but like they wouldn't tolerate a war photographer being like interrupting their SEAL Team 6 shit that much.
Get the fuck out of our way. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, they would be like they're like hugging, they're like, you're going to get us killed.
Dragging
like,
them back
yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but I guess that's how it actually is.
Apparently that does happen for coups. Like, whenever rebels are taking over, like, an existing...
Like in Muammar Gaddafi shit.
Dictatorship, yeah. Like, they need that to, like, release later to be like, this is what actually happened.
That makes sense.
But I don't think it would be as convenient as all of that was, where it's, like, behind them the whole fucking time. Like,
yeah.
I'm
sure it's a whole fucking thing you gotta do.
Yeah. It's just, like...
Because, like, SEAL Team 6, it was like, they took the photos. It's not like they had fucking photographers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zero Dark 30, that shit.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah,
baby.
Dude. Just fucking chest cam. Shitty digital cameras. You know what you just did?
Imagine how fucking hard you'd be after that.
Did you even realize what you just did?
He did a great interview that I watched. It was I highly recommend on
really?
The Sean Ryan show.
Dude's dead now.
Dude, the guy that killed Bin Laden?
Apparently all of SEAL Team 6 is fucking dead now.
No.
I don't even know. I don't know shit.
He just did an interview.
I don't know anything about anything.
Well, maybe not just.
Fucking fake news, Chris.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I imagine.
It's just
that
the Western Forces guy.
Dude, but I was laughing, like thinking about.
I don't know anything for the record. I'm just kidding.
They're all dead.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to bring up was the fact that this was just a devs reunion. Like everyone in devs is in this.
Yeah,
like I love
hard.
When a director finds their actors and just like, come on, play. Like we're
also,
doing
dude,
another
shouts
thing.
To Stephen McKinley Henderson. I like him as an actor.
He's just awesome in general.
He's just great. A great character actor that keeps showing up in all things cinema. Dune. Fuck. Apparently, he was cut out from Dune Part 2. Which Denny V says broke his heart.
Yeah.
But that guy's still around, down for that.
Yeah.
He's great in Dune. He's great in this. He's great in fucking devs, of course. I feel like I saw him.
I've seen him in other shit for sure. I just can't remember what. Yeah.
I know he's great in devs.
Yeah.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst, by the way.
Phenomenal.
Excellent.
Shouts to her for just being fucking great in this movie.
Just great.
Also, I don't know if I want to talk about this on the pod, really, but like, she's had no work done. looks like. She just looks like a human being. Which
she
is,
said that. She's
no, yeah, I saw like a snippet of an interview where she talked about that.
But isn't that so fucking like
refreshing?
Refreshing.
Yeah.
She looks like a human being.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like fucking Nicole Kidman, where she's got like a fucking.
That's why I didn't want to. I didn't want to like have I'm examples saying, where it's like, oh, like this fucking person.
Yeah, like Nicole Kidman who looks like a Team America doll now.
She does.
Sorry,
I don't want to do that, but you know,
it's rough. But yeah, she's great, and she is sitting in multiple interviews. She's like, I just want to get old and do good roles.
Yeah.
She's like, I just want to age naturally and do good roles.
Sure. I tried to rewatch the movie Dick with Kirsten Dunst. Not great.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's her and Michelle Williams, where it's like a teen comedy where they are the ones that exposed Richard Nixon and Watergate.
Okay. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy, stupid teen comedy, but not as good as I remembered.
Mm.
Will Ferrell's in it. Never heard of this?
No.
It used to be on MTV all the fucking time.
Nope.
Mm. Oh, fair enough.
I just remember her in Spider-Man, and that's about it.
Bring It On.
The Virgin Suicide's a fucking Criterion classic. It's so good.
That's her favorite movie.
That one you hated?
Fucking sucks dick, dude. Terrible movie. So boring. Just, hey, more people acknowledge Criterion has a lot of boring shit in it.
Yeah. Why are we not the first to say that, but just like we just are honest about that? I feel like everyone just sucks
Criterion.
How
could you give up Videodrome? Because it's fucking boring.
I liked it.
I liked it, but I wouldn't rewatch
it. Not everything's for everyone. Like, honestly, every time they do their monthly announcements, there's maybe one thing where I'm like, I could maybe see myself getting that.
Yeah.
This most recent month has been the only one in like a year where I'm like, oh, a couple things that look good.
Risky Business, a movie I'm familiar with. Great. Yeah.
But the Le Samurai 4K, probably get that.
Yeah.
But then they're like, it's Mr. Ganges' ocean of time.
Dude, it's John Quarell's AI-generated Criterion cover.
Yeah, and then they'll be like, they'll announce
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, starring Dustin Hoffman. Like,
that doesn't need a Criterion,
dude. I don't give a fucking shit, dude.
Yeah.
It is surprising they went with Risky Business for Criterion, though, just because it's like, isn't their whole thing like giving new life to like, not well-known
put
things?
More popular shit in the Criterion collection, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they probably make more money doing that.
Yeah.
Put like more cool shit in there.
Like
for every fucking, for every, I don't know, like Bong Joon-ho's cousin made a movie. You know what I mean? It's fucking called it's just called you know what I mean?
Good.
It's called Good.
And it's 9 hours and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It was made in 1927, dude. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's in double speed.
It's like, give me fucking, you know, something good, dude.
Yeah.
Give me Crank.
Yeah.
You know, in the Criterion collection. Like, let's fucking go, dude.
Give me the fucking Go Fast movie about doing drugs so you stay alive.
Yeah. Honestly,
you gotta fuck me so I can keep driving the bus.
And they're like, this influenced cinema.
Yeah. Give me
not some
of that. Some
fucking movie about a German on a bicycle or something.
Give me Just Friends Criterion 4K.
We've remastered it from its raw negatives.
The film negatives of the fucking Just
Van
Mary.
Wilders.
Give me some of that shit.
We're remastering Cats and Dogs.
Dude.
Cats versus Dogs.
The Baby Geniuses collection.
The Revenge of Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, not everything is for everyone. Just like, you know, David fucking Lynch, you know?
If you like the movie Being There, eat shit.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, just
fuck
some other,
off.
Some of the thing, it's not David Lynch. But you know what David Lynch is to me? Neil Breen. Same thing.
Dude, yeah.
Same shit.
I would actually rather watch a Neil Breen movie than.
Yeah.
Dude, I will say Crash felt like if David Lynch was a good filmmaker. It was like weird and surreal.
Yeah.
And shit.
You know, I just heard that about Jodorowsky as well.
Really? Jodorowsky?
Jodorowsky, yeah.
Yeah, if David Lynch made fucking sense and was good is what crashes.
It's weird because I like that one scene of Mulholland Drive where it's like the guy from Mad Men talking at the restaurant table.
Yeah.
And then a mud monster is like, rawr.
It's the shit guy from New York.
The number one scariest jump scare of all time.
Yeah.
It's a guy going,
rawr.
Yeah.
So many people have, after I brought
that fucking old Greg behind a dumpster,
yes,
dude.
Literally.
It's literally just like,
dude, so many people, after I've brought that up, have been like, you know, if you really think about it, it is the greatest jump scare of all time. I'm like, but it isn't, because I watched it, and it sucks dick.
He's drinking Kahlua out of a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rawr.
I got a mangina.
Anyways, that's our episode Lynch shit.
Yeah, that's our weekly Lynch. Shitting on David Lynch.
I will watch Blue Velvet. I will watch it. It'll happen.
Shout out to Borderland in the Discord.
Didn't we do that for the podcast?
No, not yet.
Dude, we did.
We did not watch Blue Velvet for the podcast.
Do we not?
Oh. We did Mulholland Drive.
Oh, Mulholland Drive.
But shout out to Borderland.
Same shit.
Jesus Christ, man. Do you hear me talking? I'm like trying to say something.
My bad.
Shout out to Borderland in the Discord because he watched all, he like made a point to watch it all and be like, look, it's all shit. Like,
he did four star Mulholland Drive.
Mulholland was so mid Holland, dude.
If it's something I discovered on my own and I didn't have people tell me it's one of the greatest things of all time, I might feel different, but like the perception of it after hearing that is so whatever.
How about this? If you don't like one of his shit, you won't like any of it. Yeah. Probably.
One of his shit.
One of his shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't like one thing, you probably won't like the next thing. So don't tell me to watch it.
I'm trying to think if there is a director that's done like certified dog shit and then just good stuff later.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh yeah.
Ah, shit. Yeah, that's kind
of
true.
He's the quintessential of that.
Yeah, that is true. It's a fucking 50-50 coin flip on his movies. Yeah.
Dude, he's the two-face of movie directors.
You've got the shit guy on one side of the coin.
Yes.
And then like certified 4-3 on the other.
A coin covered in shit and also The Village. Yeah.
Which arguably is like in the middle now.
Yeah, yeah.
The coin would land like
Ridley Scott too.
Someone had a meme where it's like, you know the old Taco Bell machines where you put the coin in the thing?
Yeah.
It's like
oh yeah.
It landed on the side and he's like, I need the manager to come out and suck my fucking
suck my dick through a Crunchwrap.
Yo, I'm gonna need the manager to come out and suck my fucking dick.
Well, I have to. He landed it on the top platform.
That's funny.
It landed fucking perfectly on its side.
I own Taco Bell now.
Yeah, I'm the CEO.
I own this franchise now. All right.
Crunch investors Chris. Hate him.
This one simple trick, he won the Taco Bell coin thing.
He won Taco Bell.
Anything else on Civil War, boys?
No. You know, just
is
from
it a
saying
civil boar?
In that, from that, this one simple trick. I was on like a like one of those movie sites where I watch stuff for free, and it's cool and easy and simple and legal. And one of the fake ads said, "Try this with a pile of worms. You won't have fungus anymore." And I was like, "What? Who's clicking on this?"
But you do have gangrene now.
Yeah,
this fucking AI generated fucking ads. I guess
try this with worms. What? The fuck? And it's a lady with like worms on her arm. Like,
you find the business and you fucking email them. Like, hey, what the fuck?
What is this?
I have Lyme disease now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Civil Wars.
Yep.
Pretty good.
You ever
good.
Met anybody with Lyme disease?
Yeah, my grandpa.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My grandpa has it. It's Damn. A lifelong disease.
Currently?
Yeah. Oh, unless he died. But yeah.
But like, do symptoms come and go?
I don't know.
The
I
one
don't,
I knew, it, the what the person I knew that got it ruined his life.
Yeah,
fucking yeah, sad.
No, it's fucking it's gnarly, dude.
Yeah, like every doctor
don't
just
fuck
goes,
with
I
ticks
don't fucking
ever,
know.
Bro.
Yeah,
don't lay in a field, an unkempt
oh, you know,
field
what?
Ever.
He's got lemon Lyme disease. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, it was good. It's
yeah, a Sprite challenge.
That was Civil War. All right, now. With Marty Scorsese, boys, we have to determine whether or not Alex Garlick's Civil War is in fact cinema or not cinema. If you're watching this for the first time, we say Alex Garlick because it's a fucking bit. Fuck you.
That's the right
name.
Way to say it.
Alex also introduced us to devs. I don't know if you guys knew that.
It's a true story.
He's a huge devs fan. Thank you so much, Alex, for introducing
he
us.
He put us on to fucking devs. And also Ex Machina, funny enough, right?
And Annihilation, and 28 Days Later.
Right.
And The Beach, and Enslaved Odyssey to the West, and The Dread.
Dread, yeah, you put us on to Dread. And The Beach.
Yeah, that's all of them.
Oh, okay. We have to determine whether or not Civil War is cinema or not cinema. It's just how we say the movie's good or not good. Christopher Charles Topher Collins?
I'm full of Vivian hair, dude. It's insane. Civil War is absolutely cinema. Ah! Wait, I forgot to ask. IMAX... premium format, how'd you see it?
Standard.
Man.
It was fine.
Honestly, good for you, man. I'm glad you watched it in
was
the theater.
The sound design fucking still hit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm glad he saw it in the theater.
Me
least.
Too. I just, damn, the IMAX really hits for this.
Pause. What did Christina think?
Didn't watch it.
Oh.
So So, right. Yes, cinema.
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 Now, we have to determine whether or not... Is it 4-3-4-B? That's our Criterion Collective collection. It's just how we determine, like, is this the best of the best? Pretty quick. It's another fucking...
I'd say it's 4-3. I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Christopher Collins?
I was on the fence. After talking about it, the more we talked about it, the more I liked it. I have to say it's not up there with most of his catalog, especially not fucking Men. Well, I mean, it's past Men, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it is 4-3, but like barely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured.
It's not 4-3 for me. I really don't need to own this movie. I liked it. Maybe, and after talking about it, I think I like it more now.
Same.
But I was pretty disappointed because of my own expectations for an Alex Garland war movie, A24, the biggest movie of A24's catalog ever, the biggest budget they've ever put into a movie.
Gay 24.
I didn't feel like it delivered on multiple fronts, but that's my expectation, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I think he did the movie he wanted to do. I don't think he took any shortcuts or fucking compromised his vision for what the movie is. But I think I was expecting more of a nihilistic fucking Alex Garland sci-fi fucking like, tell me what to think, dude.
Yeah. I was with you on that expectation, though.
Yeah.
But it's still, it wasn't 4-3 coming into this podcast, but when we started talking about it more, I was like, damn, that was really good. I liked it.
It's great.
I liked it for what it was, even though I wanted what we wanted.
Sure, yeah. I'll always take a sci-fi Alex Garland movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Always.
But, dude, this compared to anything else, I'm like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
But 4-3, I don't know, man.
Yeah. It was right. It just barely went over the line after we talked about it for me, but because I'm going to own it. It's good enough to own. I liked it.
This or Behind Enemy Lines?
Ooh, that's a great fucking movie, dude. That's just a fun, stupid movie. So I would take this over Behind Enemy Lines easily.
Right.
But, like, better than Saving Private Ryan? Fuck no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it is, and I was like...
Better than Apocalypse Now? No.
No.
Yeah, of course not.
I'm a crazy general. Rah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's my favorite line.
When Marlon Brando says that.
I'm crazy.
I'm fucking crazy, dude.
You'll wake up with a horse's head.
It's like Baron Harkonnen.
He's my style icon, honestly, dude. I'm just like constantly fucking pouring water in my head, dude. Oh god,
it's fucking sweaty here in Nam, dude.
Yeah, speaking of war movies though, he said Come and See was his biggest influence for this, and he told the cast to watch that to influence the movie. And he said in one of the only clips I saw of him on the red carpet, he said most anti-war movies claim to be anti-war, but they just romanticize it. They just make heroes and this and that. And not many movies just make it look like the inhumane, gory chaos it is.
Yeah.
And he said he hopes he achieved that with this in a modern setting.
I mean, I think even the photographers are kind of morally ambiguous, too, because like they have their own narrative that they want to push, too. I don't think it's as down the fucking middle. Like,
there is no unbiased...
No, of course.
Yeah. They're not the good guys. Because they're just... They're
neutral parties, right?
Yeah, but they're not even that, because they try and sort of say they're... They sort of try and present it as this noble profession, like we must document it, but they're just trying to get the photo. They're just trying to get the interview. That is another aspect of this movie. It's like, it's just exploitation.
Yeah.
It's just our news is now... not romanticized.
Exploitative.
Yeah. So.
I get it. It's still not 4-3 for me. I don't know that I need to own this one. I'm actually becoming a lot more critical of like
what your I need physical to own. Media. You want a curated collection of stuff you know.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm in the mood of like getting rid of shit that I just like, I'm not going to fucking watch this again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and that's the point of owning a movie to rewatch it.
Exactly.
So if something isn't like, I want to rewatch it.
I want to rewatch this Jesse Plemons scene all the time.
Yeah.
It's true.
That one is just a master in filmmaking
crazy.
Intention and all of that, but like the whole movie I don't think I ever need to see again.
One thing I liked about the Jesse Plemons scene too that I forgot to mention is just the red glasses. The chaos of how non-military he looked in those and how that just by having those on illustrated how chaotic things have gotten, where it's just like, oh, I just found these on a body and I put
them like
on.
An RPG where it's like, oh, this armor has higher stats.
He's just min-maxing armor.
I hope that was a choice that he made, because apparently he was improvising. He's doing whatever the fuck he wanted to do.
Goat, dude. Goated.
Just fucking go for it.
Goated actor, man.
He's like, more suck my dick. And they're like, Jesse, you can't improv that hard. He's like, yeah.
Do it.
My dick's out. Jesse, come on. He's like, your wife's right there.
He's like, how is that profitable for the Western Front?
How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay?
Like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a reference.
All right, DMTs?
Yeah.
Dumb movie title. This is just a little game. That's how we title the episode, obviously.
Yes.
Dumb movie title for Civil War. I've got Tumblr Girl Goes to War and Jan 6th the Movie.
I like it.
Y'all-Qaeda and a liveleak.com production.
Nice. I have We Live in a Society, National Geographic, Photo Genocide, and Danger Us. But like U.S. Dangerous Us.
I don't know. Which one do you guys like?
Photogenocide. But maybe it's a little too...
Explain National Geographic.
Well, because that's a magazine, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, no fucking shit. I've heard of National Geographic. How does... Okay. Explain how that's a DMT.
Because I couldn't say National Graphic.
Still not.
It's graphic.
Okay. Bye. All right. Okay.
It's a dumb movie title, after all, to be fair. I don't know.
Should we guess budget? You know the budget, don't you? You know it too?
Yeah.
It's like 50.
Well, don't. Oh, I was going to guess.
50. I thought you did your research, man.
I don't do it anymore. I just don't do it anymore.
I caught it happenstance. It was just on a webpage and it was listed right there. And I was like, fuck.
I know the box office. You guys go ahead.
Oh, wait. We're doing budget or box office?
Box office.
We already know the budget.
Okay.
How much did it make in theaters?
$25 million.
It's still in theaters, though. Can we get a number?
Yeah, opening weekend.
Okay. What do you say?
25.
40.
Alex wins. 26.
The Economist.
$26 million.
Nice.
Biggest A24 opening of ever.
Not that good for the biggest ever.
It's fucking great for an A20 for an independent studio.
For the big, they've had like 100 movies.
I do feel like they're getting mainstream, but this is their
This is the first mainstream movie that they've done. It's like, we want to make bigger and bigger and bigger. Dude, they're doing a movie with a Rock.
What?
What is that?
What? Have you guys not heard about
this? No. What is the movie?
It's called The Smashing Machine, and it is.
It's ridiculous.
It's a movie about, I think, Mark Kerr, who is an MMA fighter. That, it's a biopic starring The Rock as a mixed martial arts fighter.
It's the Iron Claw 2. He's not mixed martial arts built.
No, he's way too big.
He's Bowflex built.
It's mixed martial arts Bowflex? The fuck are you talking
about?
He
fucking
hits cables
huge.
Machines, dude. He hits the cables. I don't know.
He's huge. You cannot deny The Rock is huge.
But he's not functional strength. He's aesthetic strength.
I'm just more offended that that's what you think a Bowflex does, dude.
That's it.
Bowflex is a fucking little stringy machine that does this, dude.
Have you seen the commercials?
We all grew up with the commercials.
Everybody's ripped to shit from these commercials.
He's aesthetic ripped. He's not functional strength ripped. He's aesthetically ripped. It is about early MMA where they were like bodybuilders that were transitioning over to MMA. So it's like not current MMA like John Jones where it's like they're lanky as shit and it's, it's all about arm length. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're pure muscle.
If you look at Mark Curry, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, The Rock is going to play that.
Pretty, gotcha. Okay.
Pretty to the...
Dwayne and the Iron Claw 2.
With Emily Blunt and Dwayne The Rock Johnson in an A24 joint directed by Benny Safdie.
Ooh.
Or Josh Safdie. Sorry.
Still.
Oh, good.
Still.
He's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't want him to just be doing nothing. Like, I used to make movies with my brother.
Make a movie with The Rock, dude. Yeah. Like, shit.
That's good. I'm glad. A little sad they're not collaborating anymore.
Yeah.
Benny's kind of gone off.
They'll do it eventually, dude. It's like the Coen brothers. You know what I mean? It's like, just need my solo album for a while. And then,
And
then we'll get Destiny's Child back together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Or, that is unless one fucking absolutely kills it on their own.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And then never needs to go
unless
back.
She films a music video in the fucking Louvre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do a war movie game. Like, instead of actor game, war movies.
All right.
This will be a minute.
You want to go first?
Sure. Civil War.
Beyond Enemy Lines.
Saving Private Ryan.
Come and see.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Small Soldiers.
That's a good one.
Okay.
It works. They're soldiers. They're at war.
It's okay. That threw me the fuck off.
Making me the victor.
I'm bleeding. Making me the victor.
Shit, man. Dunkirk.
1917.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Inglourious Bastards, I guess. If we're getting into, like, fiction.
World War II, yeah.
I guess.
The Covenant.
Good one. Hurt Locker.
Black Hawk Down.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Good fucking movies. Pearl Harbor.
Nice. Never mind. I'm out. Fuck it.
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
War. Fuck the system. War. Fucking shit on my dick and balls. Avengers Endgame?
Now we're really
they're
fucking
there's
weird.
A war!
You didn't even say Infinity War.
You know what I fucking
war.
Meant? You know what I fucking meant when I said
no,
war
dude,
movies?
I'll just say I'm out, you win, whatever.
Yeah. War Games, fucking Matthew Broderick, you know what I'm saying?
It's... All right.
Tron, then. What are we doing?
We're fighting.
have a battle.
Did someone...
Hamburger push? Hill! Fucking neat shit. You know what I mean?
To Hacksaw Ridge, that's mid-movie.
Oh, terrible.
Mid.
Fucking terrible movie, dude. Choose a different voice, obviously. Even if that's how he talked, obviously do a different voice, you dumb fucking idiot.
I had to save him,
Pa!
I had a job in a defense plant. I could have taken a deferment, but that ain't right.
Shut the fuck up, you little bitch boy. You don't sound like a hero.
Well said.
Get their ass.
Yeah.
Was that Andrew Garfield?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't see it.
Terrible fucking movie, dude.
Bad. Mel Gibson, who'd have fucking thought? He made a bad fucking movie.
he made Apocalypto. That's a banger.
That is a fucking great movie.
I was going to say Oppenheimer for the war movie, but, you know.
Yeah, I would give you that one.
Yeah, you should if you said Avengers in Endgame.
I like that.
Why are you mad?
I like that we picked war movies and you didn't choose the one with war in the title. It's funny.
All right. What else we got?
Captain America Civil War.
These guys are the heels. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, bye.
Later, toads. Just ends. Thanks for listening to There Are Too Many Movies. Hope you like Civil War. Shout out to Jesse Plemons. Come on the show.
Yeah. I'd be too... I don't want to do interviews. If we ever do an interview, can you count me out of that episode?
I don't want to be the podcast that's like, so where do you get your ideas?
Yeah, that's literally all I would be thinking.
I would much rather be the podcast on the fringe making dick jokes.
So, what we're doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just saying. I'm shooting that in the foot right now.
Check out my dick, the podcast.
Also movies.
Younging.
Later, totes.